This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. We have an update on the Trump trials. Kind of had forgotten about those. I don't know about you, but it almost seemed like ancient history. It is not. We'll talk about that really briefly. I'm going to do a bunch of emails. I have an investigative reporter, a friend of mine, coming on about a half hour from now. He's going to talk about something that's probably going to make you angry, but something you haven't heard yet. So we will discuss that. So much more coming up this hour on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show, the final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. But first, let's deal with the Trump trial stuff. You know, he got convicted in New York City. It was ridiculous, but he got convicted. The sentencing got postponed, but now that's coming. The Florida stuff went away. The judge just tossed it all. It was so horrifically, blatantly corrupt to toss it all. So we lucked out there. We really, really lucked out in Georgia. That was the one that was going to send him to the clink. And then Fannie Willis decided to have an affair with the top prosecutor she put in charge of the whole thing. And now she might get disbarred. And that whole trial has been put on the back burner. So we were all thinking, I don't know about you. I shouldn't put words in your mouth. I was thinking, well, I think we're going to be okay. You remember, I used to tell you, I thought they were going to put him in prison, and they intended to put him in prison and try to put him in prison. I figured they were going to put him in prison before the election. And then I kind of set that aside. After that Georgia stuff went away, I thought, well, maybe it's okay. Maybe he'll turn out okay here. But there's the D.C. court system that we've kind of, at least I have kind of taken my eye off the ball on. Remember, Jack Smith is that special counsel. It's unconstitutional, I should note. Guys like Massey have pointed that out many times before. There's no way you can justify appointing a special counsel to go after Trump. You can't do that. Either way, Jack Smith, this commie hack, is trying to charge Trump with all kinds of ridiculous things in D.C. Remember the D.C. judge. Her name, we haven't brought her up in a while, Tanya Chutkan is her name. Tanya Chutkan is the judge. Well, she's an Obama-appointed communist hack. She has been throwing the book at every right-winger she's been able to get her filthy communist hands on for a long time. She's the judge. Jack Smith is the prosecutor. Well, it looks like it's going to resume in 2 weeks, about 3 weeks, September 5th, the case resumes. Now, the good news is, from lawyers I've talked to, is they don't believe there will be any kind of sentencing before the election. Remember, that's 2 months before the election. You have to get through the trial. They're going to convict him. Keep in mind, he's going to be convicted. And that court system, there is no justice in that court system. It's a completely corrupted, evil Soviet-style court system. He will be convicted. Whatever he is charged with in that court system, he's going to be convicted. The judge is bad. The prosecutor is bad. And maybe even worse is actually the population of Washington, D.C. that runs about 94% Democrat. He's going to be convicted there. Lord willing, he wins the election and doesn't go to prison. But here's something that we kind of haven't thought about or don't really want to think about. What if he loses the election? It's very possible. You know how dirty these people are. You know the underhanded tactics they use when it comes to elections. And you know how dumbed down and demoralized the population is. You understand that. We talk about it all the time. Plus all the illegals. But you get it. What if Donald Trump loses? They're going to throw him in prison. You want to talk about stakes? He's got to win the election or go to prison. Think about this. And I want to move on to emails because it's too dark to think about. It's not at all outside of the realm of possibility that 1 year from now, it's President Kamala Harris, Vice President Tim Walz, and Donald Trump is in the federal prison system. That's not like some out there conspiracy theory. That is possible. Golly. Now, does it bring this stuff home even more?
Elon Musk is slated to interview Donald Trump. I don't know if the president is going to tune in. Feel free to say if he is or not. But I think that misinformation on Twitter is not just a campaign issue. It's a, you know, it's an America issue. What role does the White House or the president have in sort of stopping that or stopping the spread of that or sort of intervening in that?
Yeah, no, and you've heard us talk about this many times from...
What role does the White House have in stopping that, intervening in that? As I said in the open of the show, they're just communists. And communists arrest and imprison their political opponents without a second thought. And every single communist from Lenin to Mao to Pol Pot to all the others, they have arrested and imprisoned their political opponents while claiming their political opponents were somehow threats to national security, terrorists, and that was the justification for throwing them in prison. Exactly what the American communist is currently doing. And speaking of D.C., Washington, D.C. has been labeled the least desirable place to live in the country. I will tell you this. I lived there for a year, and it was awful. So let me just lay this out for you. New York City is often thought of as being a place people don't want to live if they're on the right. Right-wingers don't want to live in New York City. And I understand all the reasons for that. I totally get it. If you're someone who hates cities or hates New York or hates how left it is or stuff like that, I totally get it. All that stuff's justified. However, New York, there are things you have to love about New York. The food. Everyone likes to eat. No, Chris, you would like the food too. There's Jewish delis everywhere all over. Anyway, the food is amazing. No matter what you're looking for, Jewish deli, Italian, the food is incredible. The history is amazing. There's always something to do. New York City, as you can tell, I'm a fan. New York City, yeah, it's too expensive to live, and I'd never raise my kids there, and all those things are very fair, but at least you get some bennies if you're in New York City. You might be listening to my voice right now on the great 710 WOR in New York City. There are benefits to living in New York. A lot of them. It's a cool place. I love it. I just took my family up there not long ago. I lived in Washington, D.C. for a year. I will tell you this right now. Outside of the monuments, museums, and history, outside of that, there is not one good thing I can say about Washington, D.C. Believe it or not, the only thing worse than the airports is the food. Chris, you can't even believe it. And let me explain. When I went, the first time I went to D.C., we were going through that terrible recession back in 2008. And you remember what that was like. Maybe you went through it yourself. You remember how it was empty strip malls everywhere and businesses going out. It was a recession. It was terrible. And I remember I first walked into Washington, D.C. back then, and it was all brand new. Brand new buildings, brand new roads, brand new this, brand new that, because these blood-sucking leeches hoover up all of our tax dollars, and all the richest counties are in Washington, D.C. It's not the founders would be rolling over in their grave if they saw it. But there's that aspect of it. So there's all this money in D.C. The airports are hot, stinky garbage. And even worse, the food selection is abysmal. Abysmal. And this is from me. You know I can eat anywhere or anything. I'd be perfectly happy eating gas station food. I'll eat a Waffle House. I'll eat a steakhouse. I'll eat whatever, wherever you take me, I'll find something yummy to eat. I am the menu whisperer after all. Restaurants in that city suck. And I don't understand why. How could a city with that much money have such a bad restaurant scene? Of course it's not desirable. And get this, I lived 11 miles from where I worked in D.C. I was doing political work. 11 miles from my front door to work was 11 miles. There were days it would take me an hour to an hour and a half to get into work or get home. The whole place is surrounded by bridges. It's just a big, ugly swamp, and the bridge is bottleneck. There is not one good thing to say about D.C. I would recommend you visit because, look, you've got to see the Vietnam Memorial. There are some things. The Holocaust Museum is something everyone should see. There are things there you should see, but other than that, go visit. Give yourself 3-4 days, leave, and never come back. That's what I recommend. All right? All right. Emails. Next.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday, and it's going to get a little heavy when I talk to this investigative reporter here in a couple minutes. How heavy, you ask?
It is as heavy as 10 boxes that you might be moving.
Don't shake your head, Chris. It's going to be heavy. It'll be 10 boxes heavy. I guarantee it. Let's get to some emails. I'm behind. Remember, you can email me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Hey, Oracle. I see the masses are noticing cracks in the communist propaganda. Billionaires are moving away and electric vehicle sales are slowing. Daylight is burning to finish this thing. Thoughts? He said his name is Stephen. Well, I'm going to play something for you. It's Stephen Colbert. Stephen Colbert is supposed to be a comedian, except he doesn't ever say anything funny. Instead, he's just an apparatchik. He's just an apparatchik, okay? He's one of these communist apparatchiks who uses his late night comedy show to just spread communist propaganda. He was interviewing Caitlin Collins from CNN last night. She's another apparatchik. Listen to how the exchange goes when he brings up CNN. Colbert is trying to be a good little apparatchik, a good little commie soldier by calling CNN nonpartisan. Listen to the audience.
It's kind of been this moment where he has not been able to coalesce around a single attack line.
I know you guys are objective over there, that you just report the news as it is.
Oh, I know. CNN makes a... I know.
Is that supposed to be a laugh line?
I wasn't supposed to be, but I guess it is.
People are catching on to this. It's not that they're catching up to you. You're way, 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 way ahead of them when it comes to information and being informed. But what people are doing, they're getting the sense that something is wrong, that something isn't right. They're starting to pick up on little things here and there that don't seem right and don't sound right. Now, I want to caution you with this. Now, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. That's part of the waking up. If you're going to wake someone all the way up, you got to wake them a little ways up to begin with, right? But just because people are figuring out something is wrong does not mean they're figuring out what the solution is to that problem, right? You ever seen a grease fire in a kitchen? You ever had one? Heard about one? It's not hard to figure out that there's a fire in the kitchen. I was actually just talking to a friend last night. His daughter had been making bacon, and she pulled the bacon out of the frying pan, used a fork and scooped it out onto a plate, and then carried the plate outside. They were having a big gathering outside and never turned off the frying pan. So the whole family's outside. Frying pan, of course, starts to smoke. The house starts to fill up with smoke, but no one's inside to see it. Finally, someone looks in. There's a freaking fire on the stovetop. Okay, well, they figured out something was wrong, but who's going to be the dummy who goes and grabs a bucket of water and dumps it on the grease fire? Obviously, you don't use water on grease fires, oil fires, for those who don't realize that. You use other things, fire extinguisher, baking powder, baking soda, baking powder. Which one is it, Chris? Whatever. Just grab a fire extinguisher. Either way, you don't use water on it. It makes it worse. It spreads it around. It's one thing for the public to be waking up and realizing something is wrong. They understand something is wrong. They understand. You heard from that clip. They understand the media is wrong. The media is biased. The media. They understand that the economy shouldn't be working like this. They understand that the border shouldn't be open. But that doesn't mean they understand the solutions. Just because the solutions are obvious to you, the causes of the problems are obvious to you, the solutions to the problems are obvious to you, that does not mean that's the case for most people. And that brings me back to what I've talked about a lot. In fact, Chris, grab that Yuri Bezmenov clip about impossible to come to sensible conclusions. If you take a person, let's just make it about one person. Let's take a person. We're going to guide them as a child. And for their entire life, we're going to dumb them down. We're not going to teach them real history, real facts. We're not going to teach them math, civics, sentence structure. We're not going to teach this person. We're not going to give them any guidance on how to think. Then you present that person with a problem at some point in time once they're later on in life, 30, 40 years old. 30, 40 years of being dumbed down, not knowing how to think. Well, it doesn't matter what problem you present to that person after 30, 40 years of being broken down and demoralized. They're not going to know how to solve anything, right? Chris, play it.
Exposure to true information does not matter anymore. A person who was demoralized is unable to assess true information. The facts tell nothing to him. Even if I shower him with information, with authentic proof, with documents, with pictures, even if I take him by force to the Soviet Union and show him concentration camp, he will refuse to believe it.
You want the best example of this? I've got one for you right here. You know how Joe Biden was underwater on every single issue? He was under Donald Trump with public polling on every issue. Joe Biden drops out of the race. Doam takes over. She's been part of the Biden administration. Joe's policies are her policies. Doam is neck and neck with Donald Trump when it comes to public polling on handling the economy. Once you demoralize a high enough percentage of the population, well, facts tell nothing to him, as Yuri Bezmenov would say. All right. I have to get to this investigative journalist. Before I get to him, let me get to you and your cell phone. I wish I could grab your cell phone and throw it in the ocean right now. I'm kidding. I would never do that to you. In fact, you can actually keep your cell phone when you switch to Pure Talk. I want to grab your cell phone provider and throw them in the ocean. That's not true either, because I'd be worried they would drown. If they could swim and I knew no one would get hurt, that's what I would do with your cell phone provider, because Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile suck. They hate you. You know, Pure Talk reached out to me. I've got a meeting with Pure Talk coming up here pretty quickly. You know who I'm meeting with? Pure Talk isn't even sending anybody. I'm meeting with some veterans who need help. Pure Talk thought I might be able to help. That's the kind of company you support when you switch to Pure Talk. You'll pay less, same 5G network, keep your phone since I didn't throw it in the ocean, keep your number or get a new phone, whatever you want. But switch to Pure Talk. It takes 10 minutes on the phone. Everyone can do it. Dial #250-SAY-JESSE-KELLY. #250-SAY-JESSE-KELLY. Switch to Pure Talk.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, sitting here completely embarrassed at how long it took me to figure out he was saying I'm walking with my feet 10 feet off of Beale on that song. I never know what they're saying in songs. Either way, great choice by my friend Jerry Dunleavy, who joins me now. He's an author of a book, I've encouraged you to get this before, called Kabul, about what we did, what our government did to our people in Afghanistan, how we did them wrong. He's an investigative journalist, and he has a doozy of a story to tell. So, Jerry, it's your story, brother. It's not my story. Let's begin at the beginning. How did you end up working with the GOP on Afghanistan?
Thanks for having me on, man. So I covered the withdrawal and evacuation from Afghanistan as a reporter, investigative reporter. Then I wrote a book on the Biden-Harris administration's disastrous debacle there, called Kabul, The Untold Story of Biden's Fiasco, the American Warriors Who Fought to the End. Co-wrote that with my great friend, or actually our mutual great friend, James Sasson, who's an Afghanistan war veteran. And I was asked by the House Foreign Affairs Committee to join as a senior investigator to help with their investigation into the withdrawal. But unfortunately, that committee's investigation has not and had not done the basic things that need to do to get real answers and accountability for the Gold Star families and for, I think, the American people too.
Okay, so let's begin there. This committee, they call up Jerry, you wrote this great book, you're an investigative journalist, you're there to try to do right, especially by the Gold Star families of Abbey Gate. You show up, and what did they tell you they were going to do versus what they actually did? And who's running this committee?
Yeah. So the committee is run by Chairman Michael McCaul, Congressman. So he runs the House Foreign Affairs Committee. And I was asked, yes, I believe, because of the investigative reporting and the book writing that I had done on this. And when I was being asked to be hired, I made it clear, I'm not trying to, do a career on Capitol Hill. I don't want any job, any random job on Capitol Hill. I will come to the committee to do this, to investigate this. And I said I wanted to be a serious and, wide-ranging investigation that follows things wherever they need to be followed. And publicly, and to me, but also publicly, Chairman McCaul, has said repeatedly that he will do, he won't rest until we get answers. He'll leave no stone unturned, that sort of thing. And just unfortunately, that's just not how the committee has been run. There's very basic witnesses that we needed to bring in that there was a refusal to bring in, important questions to ask that weren't asked. And it's been a month's long battle to try to get the committee to really just do the basic things. I'm not even talking about the really, really big things that, if I had my way, they'd also be doing. I'm really just talking here about the basics. And Chairman McCaul unfortunately just hasn't done some of the basic things that need to be done to get answers, to get accountability. And I think in some ways, maybe most importantly, to make sure that this doesn't happen again and maybe even happen in an even worse way.
Speaking with Jerry Dunleavy, my friend, investigative journalist, he resigned from helping on this committee. He publicly resigned because of the failures of the committee. I'm being really, really kind there from the things I've been told about it. Okay, Jerry, you referenced people, witnesses who weren't called, who should have been, and questions that weren't asked and should have been asked. What witnesses and what questions?
Sure. So, from the State Department side, the committee never brought in Undersecretary Wendy Sherman, Deputy Secretary Wendy Sherman, Undersecretary Victoria Nuland, these might be names that people know. They've found ways to screw up other aspects of U.S. foreign policy, and they were involved in screwing things up in Afghanistan. Tracy Jacobson, who was helping coordinate the Biden administration's Afghan policy related to our Afghan allies and SIVs. So these are three really big, important people that, for whatever reason, the committee decided to never bring in. From the military side of things, I have been saying for many, many months, and Chairman McCaul at various points has said publicly that he would do this, but I've been saying for many, many months that we need to bring in some of the top military commanders on the ground during the evacuation. That would be General Donahue, General Sullivan, Rear Admiral Vaisley. They would be able to answer questions and should be asked about questions about the deals that the U.S. military struck with the Taliban providing security outside Kabul airport, what they know about the Taliban beating up Americans, beating up and even killing some of our Afghan allies, what they know about the U.S. military asking the Taliban to take care of ISIS-K threats around Kabul airport, asking the Taliban to raid or search certain suspected ISIS-K locations, and the Taliban refusing to do it. There's a lot of these questions related to the evacuation that I think still need to be answered. And these questions, I think, would help us better understand how the Abbey Gate attack was able to be pulled off. Unfortunately, the committee never did what it has its power to do as a committee to bring those military commanders in either, and just bring them in for transcribed interviews, ask them questions for 8 or 10 hours about everything that they know, and then make those transcribed interviews public so that the American people can see, and so we can figure out now what we know and what we don't, and what more we need to do. But unfortunately, on this and you know other topics, the committee just refused to do it.
Jerry, I've only got about a minute and a half left here, but I do want to ask you this because you were in the room. You met the people. I was not. I'm over here in Texas. You were right there in the belly of the beast. Is it your opinion that this committee was so negligent on purpose, or are they just a bunch of morons? I'm trying to figure out, are Republicans on the House Foreign Affairs Committee also trying to cover up for what happened in Afghanistan, or are they just really stupid?
I think that there is definitely an element of laziness when it came to this investigation. There was definitely an element of just chaotic decision-making and just indecision and reversals of decisions. And then there also just was an element of, you know, Chairman McCaul and many of the senior staff on the committee really did not want to hold the military brass and folks like generals accountable for the mistakes that they made. The State Department obviously made massive mistakes. The intelligence community made massive mistakes. President Biden, supported by Vice President Harris, made massive mistakes. But the military leadership made some big mistakes too. And at the end of the day, you know, the people that had to pay the price were those heroic guys on the ground in Kabul during the evacuation.
No doubt. Jerry, my brother, I appreciate you as always. Thank you for doing it, and thank you for being public about it. All right. I just wanted you to hear. We still have one more segment. Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. I will be back tomorrow. Do not worry. In fact, I don't think there are any scheduled days off at this point in time for quite some time. September 18th or something like that is the next day I'll be out. But so don't worry. I'm right here. I'm right here like a warm blanket, keeping you comfortable. What, Chris? I know that you miss me when I'm gone. Anyway, I just
I'm going to play this for you again. Washington Post.
Elon Musk is slated to interview Donald Trump. I don't know if the president is going to tune in. Feel free to say if he is or not. But I think that misinformation on Twitter is not just a campaign issue. It's a, you know, it's an America issue. What role does the White House or the president have in sort of stopping that or stopping the spread of that? Or
remember that you're surrounded by communists, not Democrats, not liberals, not progressive. You're surrounded by communists who want to control what you can say, what you can drive, what you can own, what you can do. Like nasty, violent, vile little monsters is what these people are. Remember that. Underage drinking wanes, which sounds good on its face until you read the next part, as teens embrace more isolated addictions. Essentially, teens are just doing a bunch of weed and playing video games. And it's not exactly a new thing that teenagers are smoking weed and playing video games. But what is important is keep your eye on your teenager. Teenagers, Americans in general, but especially teenagers, they're withdrawing more and more and more. And just, I'll tell you the things I've seen in my own life, the things I've seen as a parent. It's really important to have your kid in activities that are not just school things, whether it be sports. Sports are great. We basically force our kids to play sports, not specific sports, but you will be active. You will work out. You will go hang out with other kids. It forces them to interact socially, but it doesn't have to be sports. Maybe you're a kid and you're not athletic or don't like it, or you're a little girl and you'd rather do it. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's the friggin' chess club, whatever it is. Get involved. What are you shaking your head at, Chris? I didn't say chess was a sport. It's still impressive. I don't even know how to play it with the nooks and crannies and queens or whatever. Are there crannies in there? Are there? No, we don't know how to play chess. I'm an American. I learned how to play checkers and I stopped there. No, I can't play chess. Anyway, whatever. Don't interrupt, Chris. Just keep your eyes on your teenager. Don't allow them to withdraw from life in society. In this day and age, with all the screens and the videos and the iPads and the smartphones, it's really, really easy to do that. It's easy for adults. It's easy for kids. And that is the path to misery. I'll tell you, that is the path to misery. All right? All right.
And now...
here's a headline.
Go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Almost 8% of American adults identify as part of the LGBTQIA plus spectrum.
Why are you gay?
Just a reminder that culture is not complicated. You get more of what you incentivize. You get less of what you disincentivize. And the reason kids, Americans, are going into the rainbow mob so quickly is because it's everywhere now, promoted everywhere. It's not because they actually are. It's because it's in every movie. It's in every television show. It's in every, it's on, it's painted on the freaking streets. The flags fly over our embassies. It's an endless wave of propaganda. And I just want to remind you of something, just a little something to keep in your back pocket. Tranny activism, a lot of it. It's funded by Big Pharma. Why do you think that is? Why do you think Big Pharma would fund so much LGBTQ Air Force activism? Why do you think that is? They love guaranteed customers. WAPO climate story inflates impact of urban heat island effect by 3,600%. And takes 5 days to correct it. They just lie now about everything. Not little lies either. Gigantic lies. And they'll half-heartedly correct it 5 days later. Why do they do this? It's because the revolution is all that matters to the communist. It's why they lie. It's why they kill. It's why they imprison their opponents. They have convinced themselves they're the good guys. They're the only good guys. And anything that's done to stop the bad guys is justified. That's why these people always turn out to be freaking monsters. Top Ukrainian commander says his forces now control almost 390 square miles of Russia's Kursk region. I mean, again, good for Ukraine. Glad you went on the offensive. I am very nervous about this situation. Last remaining Denny's in San Francisco closes over the plague of Dine and Dashers. They have ruined what was, I'm told, one of America's most beautiful cities and best eating cities. There are now apps that outline where the human poop piles are in the streets of San Francisco. But hey, when you find a San Francisco Democrat who complains, what are you going to tell them? You voted for this. Marriott sues franchisee for converting hotel into a shelter for illegal aliens. The lawsuit claims willful breach of contract. That's from Blaze Media. One in five New York hotels has become a hotel for illegals. That's how big this business has become. Lots of hotels love it because hotels have to have their rooms filled up. And now they're getting massive, massive checks, government checks, NGO checks, stroked to them to house the illegals who are pouring into this country. Conservative professor reaches multi-million dollar settlement after free speech lawsuit. A reminder to everybody that we have to be more litigious. Don't shake your head, Chris. Seattle's Children's Hospital segregates doctors by race, asks them to tap repressed racial memories in leaked training. This stuff happens all over the place. This is a children's hospital, and they're divided by race. Other than the law, other than the legal profession, the scariest thing the communists are taking over is the medical profession, and we are going to start seeing days come very, very quickly. They'll be here before you know it, when white patients are cast aside and set aside for their privilege. You watch, it's coming. DOJ to sue, or Trump to sue the DOJ for over $100 million over Mar-a-Lago raid, alleging political persecution. See, Trump is litigious, Chris. EU backtracks censorship demands on Trump-Musk interview. I almost forgot, it wasn't just the American commies. The European Union tried to hammer Elon Musk for interviewing Trump. That's how committed the globalists are to stopping this whole thing. And what a mad world. Anyway, we'll be back to do this again tomorrow. That's all.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart Podcast.